powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
We've been talking about how Russell Wilson should or shouldn't be handling the search for the offensive coordinator. There's two camps here. Some that think that Russell Wilson should absolutely be a part of it, and some that think that Russell Wilson as a player shouldn't be questioning or undermining the decisions and the direction his head coach wants to take. I don't necessarily think there are flaws with either idea. They are both completely fair. The idea that players should respect their coaches is deeply rooted in football, going all the way back to when you're a kid, right? Like, it is. It 100%. Seems like a silly thing to do. You're not supposed to question the coach. It is still weird to me to this day if I hear players say Pete and they're still with the program and not Coach Carroll or Coach. Like, it's noticeable when that happens. That said, quarterback's a different position. Quarterback is a position, Jake, I don't need to tell you that, but quarterback is a position where if you are a franchise guy, if you're the franchise star, you're outlasting every other person on that roster. You will see waves of players and other guys come through that system and leave that system, and you will be the last one there, which is why so many guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, by the time they get to those later stages in their career, have been in the league for long enough that not only are they actually around the same age as some of their coordinators, but they have a big say in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That has to start somewhere. Russell Wilson, I think you can fairly say, hasn't accomplished as much as those other guys. Completely fair. I think there are stats to back that up. But there's a point in your career where you have to start. And I don't think it's out of line for Russell Wilson to maybe more aggressively advocate for a say in what's happening there, because this decision affects his career just as much as it affects Pete Carroll. And you said, Jake, that you don't think they're that far apart on what they might want.
Well, at least that's what they're saying. At least that's what Russell Wilson is saying in terms of them being on the same page and them being a part of the process. And, you know, you go to cut number one here, you know, Russell saying that he thinks it's vital and critical that he's a part of the process in picking the next OC.
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, obviously, going into my 10th year of my career, I think, you know, it's a critical time of being able to. The next 10 years are super critical, right, for everybody involved, the whole organization, and also myself, and me as a player, the legacy that I want to be able to create and do, and to be able to set the tempo on, you know what I mean? And so I think it's vital. It's critical, you know, super significant that I'm a part of that process. And Coach and I have definitely been talking about John, too, as well. And, you know, we've had some super long great dialogue about the thought process of who we want.
And so that isn't saying Russell Wilson going rogue here, Stacey, and saying, well, Pete Carroll and John Schneider, they don't want Russell a part of this conversation. Russell Wilson saying he does want to be part of this conversation. They are on the same page and in lockstep in terms of that. At least that's what is being said, right? And I believe that to be true. But here in cut number five, again, going on once more, Russell saying that it's important that him, Coach Carroll, and John Schneider are on the same page in this process.
You know, I think that it's really important that, you know, me and Pete and me and Coach Carroll and John are all on the same page and trying to find that right person for us. And me and Coach definitely have talked a lot about it. And I think that it seems like we're on the same wavelength of trying to find that right person for us that can do it all and allow us to be up-tempo, allow us to be able to run it, allow us to be able to throw it down the field, mix it up, throw it in between, really challenge the defense in every facet of the game. And, one thing about me is I want to be able to do it all, right? So I want to be able to make sure that our offense can do it all and does it all. And it does it all extremely, extremely well.
So when I hear those things, Stacey, what I hear is, you know, you could make arguments that Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, those guys – but it was never in question whether they were going to be a part of the process or not. I think that's the difference. And to me, I think that this is no different than any one of those other situations. And for this organization right now, this offensive coordinator hire to me, this feels different to me. This offensive coordinator hire, I believe, will have a tremendous amount of impact on the current era of Seahawks football. The Carroll, Schneider and Wilson era of Seahawks football. I think it's that significant. I think it's that important. And I don't think it's Russell Wilson saying that he's demanding one person or that he is going to be upset if you know they pick a certain guy that he would be upset if they picked a guy that was never included in any of their conversations. But I don't think that that's the case. I think that this will be a decision that they have all come to, or at least have an understanding as to why the decision is made. Pete Carroll will ultimately have the final say in this process, but you do need to have your franchise quarterback on board who has this much run with this organization and is this vital to your group getting to a Super Bowl.
I know that we're saying, kind of dancing around the issue of, you know, Russ isn't going to throw a fit, or Russell Wilson in his press conference is dancing around it too. And what else is he supposed to say? What is your franchise quarterback supposed to say, right? Yeah, I was cool with Shoddy being gone. Yeah, I absolutely want to be part of this. Why not, though? Like, maybe not in a press conference, I get why you wouldn't, but why not me be more demanding? And I'm not saying this as someone who is backing up Russell Wilson. I am saying this as someone who says, if I was a quarterback 10 years in with a franchise that had committed to me, that I had committed to, and that I understood I was an intrinsic part of their success in the past, now, and moving forward, I would be demanding that I be part of that conversation. Why would I not? When you get to the NFL, it's a business. This isn't high school football anymore. This isn't college football. When you're a quarterback at that level, you're more like middle management than you are anything else.
Yeah.
You no longer are just a random player on the roster. And I know other players don't like that. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. But yeah, you do deserve more of a say, or you should be fighting for more of a say. And that's where kind of those like traditional values of that looking like it's undermining a coach kind of get thrown out of the window. Russell Wilson clearly doesn't want to look publicly like he's being a bad guy. He doesn't want to look publicly like he's making it about him and not the team. But clearly, to me, this is Russell Wilson saying, bet on me. Or if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm going to Carroll and I'm saying, bet on me. Bet on me by letting me be a big part of how we choose this coordinator. And the way you pay that bet off is by playing well.
Right.
If you don't, that was a bad bet by the Seahawks, right? Russell Wilson has to back it up too.
Of course. And you have to find the guy that's going to get the most out of him, right? And get the most out of this offense. And it's not just Russ. It's DK. It's Tyler. It's their running game. It's the tight ends. It's everybody. How do you get everybody involved, and how do you stay one step ahead? How do you make sure that you don't lay a dud in the wild card round, and instead you're still playing in the playoffs right now with a great opportunity to continue to advance? Right? How do you make sure that that does not happen again? How do you ensure that you don't run into the same issue 5 years in a row? Right? Because that's what the Seahawks are currently on. And part of that is the investments in the offensive line that they have refused to make on a legitimate investment in the offensive line. But part of that is also the scheme in which they have gone along with as well. So I think that when you look at what's happening with the Seahawks and with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and this management, I believe what has happened here is essentially you have a quarterback that is saying, okay, we have had long conversations after the game. I didn't hit the showers. I stayed 2 hours after the game talking with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And I showed up to my press conference in a sweatshirt, and I still had my eye black on, and because we were trying to figure out what was the direction. And we've been in constant contact since. Why did he have his press conference on Thursday instead of the day after the game when they normally do? Because he said he was meeting with Pete Carroll, and their meeting went so long that the media was gone, and now they had to, you know, do this on Thursday. There have been multiple long conversations that have happened here. And Russell Wilson said to everybody that I believe we are on the same page as an organization, coach, player, and GM. And now it's on Pete Carroll to go and execute what we have talked about. And I think that there is a big responsibility on Pete Carroll at this current moment.
I'm seeing some critiques come in. Baker Mayfield was a voice in choosing Freddie Kitchens, and that was a disaster. You think Russell Wilson is choosing Freddie Kitchens? Also, Russell Wilson, right now in his career, better than Baker Mayfield. I know that this second half of the season was really disappointing. I know that people are flooding the text line saying, trade Russell Wilson. Again, I have been one of those people saying Russell Wilson needs to be better. Russell Wilson was part of the second half flaws, part of the second half collapse. That was on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's interceptions gave Pete Carroll some credit, some validity. he got some validity when he took that away from Russell Wilson, took the ball out of his hands and ran it just a bit more, played ball control just a bit more, and they played better. Of course, Russell Wilson has a part in that. But he is also a better quarterback and more proven than Baker Mayfield. I don't know why this is a debate. Like, I don't know why someone who doesn't like Russell Wilson would say that a 10th-year quarterback who is a franchise player shouldn't be fighting for a say in who is hired. And I saw someone else texting in saying, well, should Bobby Wagner have a say in who's defensive coordinator? Sure. Let him have a say in who's defensive coordinator. You're committing that much money to him. But one other factor that I want to include here is that Pete Carroll's a defensive-minded head coach. If I'm an offensive player, if I am your offensive player, and I want to talk about someone who's going to oversee that side of the ball, and I know you're a defensive coach, why would I not also want to make sure that I'm someone you're considering for that decision?
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, in this situation, when you look at it, you know, people could talk about, well, all right, in the conversation at some point, if things were to go south, where does that conversation go? Does it lie with Pete Carroll? Do you want Pete Carroll to stay around here for the next 5 years? Do you want Russell Wilson to walk? Right? I think that's the worst case scenario in all of this as you go and you look at what is potentially at stake here.
Now,
not this year or anything like that, but I'm saying that could be something that would be on the table, or that's people's worst fear.
Now,
right? And that I don't know where that goes, and I don't anticipate us getting to that point, not even close. I don't want us to get to that point. That would be terrible. But anybody that thinks that Russell Wilson not being a part of this organization and that you can move on and say goodbye to him and trade him or let him walk is the best thing for this franchise, then I don't know what you're looking at.
Now, I didn't mean to interrupt. We have just a minute left here before we get to NFL headlines. There is one thing I want to touch on and why I think so many people have an issue with that stance and the stance that I've also taken. And that is that as a fan, you care more about your team than you do the players. And that's not always a personal thing. It's not always like dehumanizing someone or anything, which are sometimes problems with sports. It's that you are loyal to your city, loyal to your team, and someone subverting someone else feels like an insult and a slap to the face. So people are saying, well, let Russell Wilson walk. If he wants to pretend to wield all the power and say, it's me or the highway, like, I don't want someone like that. I know why someone would think that. What I'm saying is, why can't he be part of that decision-making process? Also, you don't want him to leave town. Like, it is very hard to find a franchise quarterback and you have one. But why would he not be able to be part of that decision-making process? Why would you not advocate for that?
Why wouldn't you advocate for wanting to bring somebody in that can make your franchise quarterback the best that he can be? Is that controversial?
No, but as a head coach think that the way your franchise quarterback would genuinely be best is in a slightly different way.
Okay. Then I would...
Like, I think Pete Carroll wants Russell Wilson to be great.
Yeah, I do too. I firmly believe that. Now, the question is can you get there being that same style and what everybody is assuming that style is what you were in 2013 and 2014? I don't even think you have anywhere close to the same roster as that group in that time. But if that's what you want to revert back to, do you really believe that is what can get you back to a Super Bowl? And I think that those are the convictions that people may look at and say, that's what you need to do. I think that would be a massive mistake. I think that would be a big flaw, and you would have the same results as you've had over the last 5 years. And if there were other results that had given us something else that you looked at and said, well, when we were like this in 2017 or 2016, 2015, we had our best chance. There is none of that. So I think it's very much up for debate as to what style and the direction of this offense, the direction of this style of this team and in-game coaching decisions can help get you to a Super Bowl.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross here. Let's get to NFL headlines. The Falcons have offered their head coaching job to Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. He wasn't the only one to interview. Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, also one of the players who are offensive coordinators who was interested in that position, but they are instead going with Smith there. I think that's a good hire. I have no problem with this news. Do you?
No, I don't at all. I think Arthur Smith has done an outstanding job with the Tennessee Titans. I think he's done a great job maximizing the talent that they have. He turned, you know, Jonnu Smith, a very raw, athletic tight end, into one of the game's dynamic playmakers. And I think that he did a great job revitalizing Ryan Tannehill's career. So when you talk about Arthur Smith getting this opportunity, I think that this could do wonders for their offense, for Matt Ryan, for Julio Jones, for a great group. And one of the biggest keys here for Arthur Smith is, can he get that defense right? The Falcons have an unbelievably talented roster, but they have underperformed and been very underwhelming as a defense. And it's taken two back-to-back seasons, Stacey, where they have been so poor defensively at the beginning, and then they turn it on late. They have to figure out a way that they can keep that group together from the very get-go, and that will be something that Arthur Smith will have to find. Offensively, I think they'll be very, very explosive.
This is actually a bit older. We didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday or the day before, though. Alabama will name former Texans head coach Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator, so he finds a new landing spot. The Texans, though, just in a garbage fire after he's, I don't want to say left them, he was fired. But Texans in a weird spot after that, too. So good news for O'Brien, takes over for Sarkisian, and then instead you've got the Texans. They haven't settled on a head coach, right?
No.
Not yet?
No, not even close. So,
all right, just GM.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to wait until the Chiefs are done. I mean, Deshaun Watson has been very, very upset that they have not interviewed Eric Bieniemy, and if they don't, I think that that's going to be a big problem. If you don't want to hire Bieniemy and you're just interviewing to appease Deshaun Watson, I think that's bad ball. I think that that's wrong. You should just go ahead and make the hire and stick to your guns. But we'll see how this ends up going for the Texans. They are so dysfunctional right now. But in terms of Bill O'Brien, I think he's going to do a great job at Alabama. I think he's a very good offensive coach who, unfortunately, is not a great head coach. And when you give him too much power, like allowing him to be a GM of an NFL franchise, probably not a good decision. But I think he'll be good for Nick Saban in Alabama.
Is Deshaun Watson in Houston in 2022?
I have a hard time seeing it happen.
Curtis.
Oh, no way.
I have a really hard time seeing it happen.
Is he in Houston in the month of February 2021?
I debated saying, is he playing for Houston this year? But then I was like, well, I don't know. Like, maybe they can't get a deal done that they really like. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you could really lose James Harden, Deshaun Watson in a single calendar year within, like, 6 months.
You love to see it.
You love to see it.
It's incredible.
All right. Earl Thomas, former Seahawk, obviously was allegedly involved in another incident involving his ex-wife over the Christmas holiday. This news just keeps getting sadder. It's awful news for him and his family. Like, there was a profile that came out in The Athletic and also one in ESPN not too long ago, just detailing Earl Thomas behind the scenes. What was your experience with him? I only covered him as a reporter, so in a very limited setting, in a not at all personal way.
Look, Earl Thomas was all about football. All about football. And so when it came to, I did not spend time with Earl Thomas off the field. So my experiences are very different. So, from an inside the locker room standpoint, Earl was a quiet guy, got to, you know, talk to him, interact with him, but it was all about football. It was in the context of football, Stacey. It was not necessarily on a personal level. And I don't think Earl Thomas had many personal relationships with guys outside of the Legion of Boom. He was very much hyper-focused on ball. And it's really sad to see what's happening with Earl Thomas and the decisions that he's made. You really, really start to worry about him in terms of life after football, because, quite frankly, I don't think Earl Thomas is suiting up ever again. Like, with this latest news, I have a really hard time seeing Earl Thomas back in the NFL.
We have been talking about offensive coordinator positions, head coaching positions, pretty much since last week. Again, before that, but especially since the departure of Brian Schottenheimer. But there is some news as far as defensive coordinators go, the defensive side of things. Former Rams defensive coordinator Wade Phillips, 73 years old, would like to return to coaching after spending the 2020 season in retirement.
You know, Wade Phillips is one of those guys, Stacey, that if you're starting a new franchise, if you're a new head coach like Sean McVay, Wade Phillips typically is very, very successful in the first couple years as a defensive coordinator, and then it's probably time to move on from that point. I don't know why, but Wade Phillips has like a very short shelf life. So if you want to hire him just before he's about to head out of retirement, I think that that might not be a bad idea. But if I was any of these coaches in the NFL right now, out of the 32 coaches, why not bring Wade Phillips on as a consultant, as a senior analyst?
That's what I would think. What if he only wants to come on as a head coach? Would you bring him on if you had an opening as
head
DC?
Coach? No way.
Or sorry, not head coach, defensive coordinator.
I don't know. I think for Sean McVay at the time, being such a young head coach in this league, it was great to have that balance with Wade Phillips, the experience that he had. I don't know if his experience would really be that beneficial to any other coach in the league, but I do think that he obviously brings a lot to the table and has a unique perspective that a lot of defensive staffs could really use.
Very last one here. NFL.com has their divisional round playoff predictions. You predicted that Josh Allen could get more rushing yards than Lamar Jackson. Maurice Jones-Drew for NFL.com says he expects Lamar Jackson to not only rush for more yards than Josh Allen, but also throw for more yards than Josh Allen.
Wow. That's a big take from Maurice Jones-Drew, and I do not believe that that will be the case. I think Josh Allen, the way that he's playing, the way that he's being utilized by Brian Daboll, I actually believe it's the opposite. I think that Josh Allen has a great chance of, well, not only throwing for more yards, but potentially running for more yards, because you look at the way that they used him versus the Indianapolis Colts. He was a big, big part of their running game.
Joe Thomas taking the Browns to beat the Chiefs in a move that shocks everyone. I actually like Joe Thomas, so I'll allow it. But I'll allow that bold prediction.
Hey, that's fine. He's a lifer. He's a Browns lifer, so
I'll
of course.
It. If you miss the show, you can always listen via the 710 Sports app powered by Dubin Law Group. Coming up, we've had our weekly game show every single Friday previewing the Seahawks' next opponent. This time, though, it's the divisional round. Curtis and Jake facing off to see how much we all know about the teams heading into the playoffs this weekend. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Saints. Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, Browns,
you
Chiefs, Buccaneers,
around.
Saints. Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Saints.
That was
very tough to
do. This is our weekly game show.
Incredible.
Normally, for anyone who's very confused, if we play the Rams, it's Rams, Rams, Rams. If we play the Bills, it's Bills, Bills, Bills. And so, Curtis, a great job going through all the teams in the divisional round. Curtis and Jake will face off. Because I wrote these questions when Curtis was in the room, normally the person who wins gets to pick to go first. I'm actually going to go with Curtis, even though you won, based on how these questions are organized, because otherwise Curtis gets the upper hand. This way it's more even. Okay, I promise. No one's cheating. Curtis.
That's not going to stop
no,
the rumors.
I know. There's already rumors. There's already rumors that I rig it. Even though Jake has won 2 weeks in a row, and then Curtis won the week before that, it's very back and forth. I think I make a very fair game. I'm done defending myself. On to the divisional round trivia. Curtis.
Stacey.
Last week, the Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 48-37 to win their first playoff game since 1994. Let's go back there. The Lion King and Pulp Fiction were still in theaters, and Ace of Base was topping the charts. That year, they were coached by Bill Belichick and beat the New England Patriots in the wild card round to advance to the divisional round, where they lost to which team?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ding, 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 ding.
In fact, now fun fact, the last three Browns playoff games have all been against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road
and,
in Pittsburgh.
And check this out. In a weird turn of events, the Browns lost their Week 16 game that year to the Steelers, then lost to them in the playoffs. This year, they beat them in Week 17 and then beat them the next week in the wild card round. Wow, trivia's fun. Curtis up one. Jake, zero. You got to get on the board. But
wow.
This is your first
time. I don't know if anybody else that listened to that. I didn't even follow a single thing that just happened.
I got a lot of coffee. Jake, two number six seeds will appear in the divisional round this weekend. Okay. When was the last time a number six seed won a Super Bowl?
Ooh, number
a good
six
one.
Seed.
Thank
won
you, Curtis.
The Super
You're
Bowl.
Welcome.
Shout out to NFL Communications, by the way.
would it be the Baltimore Ravens in 2012.
It is the 2010 Green Bay Packers. Although, that's the question that I wrote with Curtis in there, and he also guessed the Ravens. We had to look it up. All right.
Dang it.
1-0, Curtis, you're in the lead. A chance to pull ahead here. The Packers' number one scoring offense and the Rams' number one scoring defense will meet in the divisional round this year, marking just the eighth time this has ever happened. Just kidding. Since 1990. When is the last time? So since 1990, when's the last time the number one scoring offense and number one scoring defense met in the postseason?
Boy, that's not an easy one.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it's been after Super Bowl 48, because the Seahawks and Broncos were the number one defense and offense.
That's going fair. I'll allow it. I need an answer, though.
But after that, man.
Don't look at the text line.
Was it the Eagles and Patriots Super Bowl? Super Bowl 52, I believe, is what that was.
It is the 2016 teams, the number one scoring offense, Falcons versus the Patriots.
That's a good one.
All right, okay. All right. So Jake,
a chance to tie it up.
It was. A chance to tie. Some people protesting, but no, guys. I'm saying the number six specifically seed, not last, just number six seed.
Uh-huh.
All right. Uh-huh. Jake. Where am I? All four starting quarterbacks remaining in the AFC are under the age of 26. If that makes you feel old, congratulations. Me too. That's the first time that's ever happened in NFL history. I'm not going to make you rank them from oldest to youngest, but I will make you tell me the oldest remaining quarterback in the NFC playoffs and the youngest remaining quarterback in the AFC. Sorry, AFC for both guys. Okay.
The oldest quarterback in the AFC and the youngest quarterback in the AFC.
Yes.
Okay. In the playoffs, the oldest quarterback
specifically in the AFC.
In the AFC is, oh man. I'm going to say is it Baker Mayfield?
It is. Now you got to guess the youngest.
Okay, the youngest is Lamar Jackson.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's 25 and 24. Just turned 24 for Lamar. They are young. All right, Curtis, you need this point.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, pay attention. The Rams lead the all-time series between them and the Packers. Awesome, congrats. But the Packers have had the upper hand in their last six meetings.
That's a lot of meetings.
What's Green Bay's record in those games?
Boy. I'm going to say... in the last six times they've played the Rams, they're 6-0.
You're so close.
Oh, they're 5-1.
Wow. 5-1.
Wow.
5-1.
I don't even remember the one time.
Jake.
Okay, here's my chance.
Your chance here.
Come on.
Is this your chance to pull ahead?
Yes,
2-1.
It is. 2-1.
Okay.
Let's go.
Your chance to pull ahead. Is Drew Brees' career playoff record above 500? Below 500?
Oh, man.
Or is it 500?
Wow. Okay. Drew Brees' playoff record is below 500.
Oh!
It is above 500, but just barely.
Dang.
He just got above 500
last week.
9-8. All right. This weekend also marks the first time a couple teams will ever be meeting in the postseason. This is split up, one for each of you to guess true or false. Curtis, if you get this, you win it, right?
Yeah, I'd be up 2-1.
Okay.
Pretty dismal performance.
True,
it's been a defensive
slog. True or false, Curtis?
Got to run the ball in January to win.
True or false? This is the first time the Ravens and Bills will meet in the postseason.
Now, are we considering the previous iteration of the Ravens as the Cleveland Browns in this?
No.
So then, yes, this is the very first time these two teams have ever met in the playoffs.
Yes. This is correct.
Did he just win?
I'm sorry. This is my fault. I broke up the show. I'm sorry. Do you want to guess?
The other one?
Okay. True or false, is this the first time the Buccaneers and Saints will meet in the postseason?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Yes, this is the first time they'll meet.
It is.
Okay.
Do you feel a little bit validated?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm still
this
bitter and angry. I don't like to lose, especially on a Friday. It's a terrible way to go into the weekend.
I kind of brought our show down at the end here.
You want to know what's going to bring the show down even further? Field Yates and Tom Pelissero
don't
reporting.
Say this.
Josh Gordon's conditional reinstatement has been rescinded, and he is now suspended indefinitely again.
He's not coming back.
No.
He's done.
No, he's done.
You know what I think they should do? They should probably put him, they should probably sign him. You'd never know. There's a chance.
Jacob.
I
All right. Hey.
I this is the part, you know, when you look at what they were trying to do with Josh Gordon is obviously they were hoping that something would happen here. And I'm still confused as to what happened when they
too.
Thought he was coming back and they said, nope, never mind, he didn't meet the conditions. I know that they keep everything really tight-lipped, but it did not sound like it was Josh Gordon that, you know, had made a new recent positive test. It sounded like something else that happened there. That's the part that I just feel really, really bummed out about.
Yeah, I would love to have the answers there. We are going to try a new segment to close out our show every day. It's the first time we're doing it. Now, it's going to be called What Do You Need to Know? You will frame a question as such. Send it into the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line 710-710. I need to know who you think the Seahawks are hiring as OC. I need to know if you think Papa John's is better than DiGiorno. I don't
DiGiorno.
Know.
DiGiorno?
Help me out here. I need to know if you've ever broken a bone. I need to know if you think Russell Wilson will play out his contract. Any question you need to know, what do you need to know?
Could be about anything.
Anything. Text it in, 710-710, anything you need to know. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
710-710, Busy Heart Seltzer text line. What do you need to know? From the 206, I need to know if Chris Peterson has a chance to be the Seahawks OC. Jake, you talked about this one a bit earlier. You got to say yes or no right now if you had to bet.
No.
No.
I don't think it happens.
All right, quick answer.
Yeah, I don't think this one happens. I know that they have Pete Carroll and Chris Peterson have great respect and admiration for one another, but I don't think that Chris Peterson coming out of coaching retirement is necessarily the move that they're going to be making.
Curtis, I need you in on this one, too. I need to know your go-to Taco Bell order.
Ooh.
Curtis, I'll let you start,
If anybody, if there is a question out there that could get Curtis more
fired up. He talks about Taco Bell all the time.
I love it. I love the bell. I ring it all the time.
On brand.
Number one, you got to go with a cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah.
Something about that Baja sauce on there. Just, it gets your boy going. Mm. Now, here's where I kind of veer off the menu a little bit. Because
you go off menu?
Because this item is not available on the regular menu.
Oh, this is an off menu item.
But it is available on their app.
Is it the white gummy?
No, no, no. It's the quesarito.
Ooh!
A steak quesarito,
okay.
To be more precise.
Jake, you said we would be surprised by yours.
No, I didn't. I wasn't saying you'd be surprised. I was just saying I'd be curious because you also like to think that you're a Taco Bell
savant. Yes.
Savant.
So, Curtis, yeah. I'm shocked you didn't get more because I get several things.
Well,
I haven't been in a while.
I also.
You were, done, you were not done adding.
Maybe the Crunchwrap, too.
I cut you off.
A chalupa.
Got it,
something.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I go chalupa and then two soft tacos and then the little nuggets, the little potato nuggets.
Okay. I go with.
And sometimes
I get two steak quesadillas.
Two steak
quesadillas, and I always go for the Baja.
Oh, Baja Blast.
Baja
for sure.
Blast.
100%.
That is my go-to every single time at Taco Bell.
I need to know who will be.
I don't get creative. I feel like when you go to Taco Bell, you have to be extremely creative because they have so many different things.
Yes.
And you have to try it all. I'm not one of those people. Once I find something I like, I will pretty much eat that
routine.
Every time.
Yes. Routine person.
And if they have like a gimmick item that's out, I got to order that, like some toasted cheddar burrito, something like that, where they put the cheese on the outside of the burrito. What are you doing? I'll still order it.
So we're all going to vote the same time for this one. 253, I need to know your show vote. on waffles versus pancakes. On the count of three, we're all going to say our order. Ready?
This never turns out good.
No, I got it. One, two, three. Waffles.
Waffles.
Jake!
Oh, we were supposed to go on three.
You
I was waiting for the next thing.
All right.
My bad. I screwed that up. Yes. Obviously, it's waffles.
Jake's live in studio, but there's still a delay.
I need to know if there's going to be any surprise Seahawks cut this year, and who would it be? I think that KJ Wright is a potential. I think a lot of people are going to look at Carlos Dunlap. That final year of his deal, $10 million, not guaranteed.
Well, he is a $14 million cap hit.
Yes.
So I would almost guarantee you that there would probably you have to rework his deal again, or you just flat out cut him saying, hey, we want to sign you to a new deal, wink, wink, nod, and hey, don't be mad that we cut you because we're signing you back to this new deal. There's no way they can keep that contract that they have with Carlos Dunlap right now. No way.
I need to know from the 509, what do you put on your pizza? I'm a pepperoni person. Sometimes I like a supreme pizza. Just throw everything on there. I don't like mushrooms, though.
Pepperoni, sausage, bacon.
Yeah, I feel like pepperoni has to be somewhere on the pizza. That is the ultimate
base.
Meat for a pizza.
Foundation.
I like bacon on mine with pepperoni.
Absolutely.
Maybe even some jalapenos on there.
Some jalapenos. I have recently found out, because I've always been traditionally a picky eater my entire life, and I blame my father for this, because he was always a picky eater as well. And Brooke was getting mad at me because we couldn't make certain things because I was so picky, so then I had to branch out my taste buds. So I've been getting better and better as life progresses. Jalapeno has been one of the new things that I have found in life.
Yeah, it's good.
253, putting you on the spot, Jake. I'm going to direct this one toward you. I need to know, can Russell Wilson dunk?
Can he dunk?
Yeah.
No.
Be on. Okay, there you go. Didn't even hesitate.
He's a spot-up shooter.
He's definitely a spot-up
shooter. They added, I think he can dunk on Harden. No. No, don't even hesitate. The answer is
no. I don't think so.
Come on. Here's a juicy one, 253. I need to know, do you guys think DK will stay for at least five more years in Seattle? I think a lot of that depends on this offensive coordinator situation, and I think a lot of it depends on where they go as an offense. If I am DK Metcalf, I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want the ball in my hands, just like any other top receiver, and if that's not happening here, sorry.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'm going to say TBD on
I
that
want
one.
DK in Seattle. He's fun to cover. Great dude.
Of course. But... And I think DK wants to be here in Seattle. I think he loves it here. I think he loves the 12s and all of that. But this is very much a TBD. There is a lot riding on this next OC hire and over the next couple years. And DK, if I were him, I would not make any rush decision on my next contract.
I need to know, I don't know how to answer this question. I feel like I should. I need to know why the sky is blue. Kid keeps asking him. He needs to know why the sky is blue.
I don't have the scientific answer for you. What I would just tell Jackson or Bodie was, that's just the way God made it. That's what my answer would be.
All right. 206, I need to know, do the Hawks improve from last year?
Hard to improve from 12-4.
Yeah, that's a tough.
If you're going to improve, it's going to be on playoff positioning.
Correct.
All right.
Man, are they going to improve? I sure hope so.
Someone said, are they going to make the playoffs?
They will make the playoffs.
I don't know, Jay.
For all the gripes that everybody has about this team, they will find a way to make the playoffs. Their schedule will be extremely difficult in 2021 because you get that division winner schedule, which means you play all of the previous division winners. Division that you're into playing that year. So your 2021 schedule is going to be difficult, but of course, they'll find a way to the playoffs. They definitely will.
I need to know, when you guys travel, are you a resort traveler or a backpacker / hostel traveler? I'm a resort traveler. I don't even need to think twice about that. I have no interest in staying at a hostel. I've seen that movie. It's horrifying. No. Do not sign
you're not,
me up.
You're
do
not,
not.
You're not
Casco.
Adventurous.
I'm adventurous. I would like to adventure along the beach and then go back and have dinner with guac. Like, right. I don't want to go to swim a hostel. Bar. Why do I want to go to a hostel? People are killed there in movies.
That's a big general statement there.
Are you guys backpackers?
No.
Exactly. You guys are both glampers.
I just wanted to give you a hard time. That's all.
I knew for a fact.
I'm 100% a resort person as well. Anytime we go and travel, absolutely. And one of the other things is that we don't really very much the same routine people. Like we only go to a couple different places. We know what we like, and we're good with that. Like we're gonna enjoy that every single time.
All right, you guys. This has been Jake and Stacey. It's been a really fun week. I'm actually excited to talk about some of these games on Monday. I want to see if I'm right, if the Saints can hold the Bucks off, and you and Bump are wrong.
Oh.
We'll find out soon.
We'll find out.
He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is next. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.